Wherever people get together, you will find the very best and the very worst of human behaviour on display. So the Laugh Matters Facebook page has become a great place for supportive conversations. But we know that social media can play host to some of the very worst bullying behaviours too. Violent threats, stalking, humiliating put-downs. And I'm wondering if you or your children have been the target of bullying or trolls online. What was your response? Did you feel you could do anything about it? What do you think should be done about it? We'll be taking your calls this morning, 1300 225 76. We're just waiting on Paul Fletcher, the Federal Member for Bradfield and Parliamentary Secretary to the Federal Minister for Communications, to join us. He's landing in a plane as we speak. The federal government introduced its Enhancing Online Safety for Children Bill last week, and we're looking forward to hearing from him what he thinks that will achieve. In the meantime, I'm joined this morning by educator and consultant Robin Triveau. She's the founder of CyberSafe Kids. She's also a global partner of what's called Common Sense Media, a not-for-profit that provides independent age ratings and reviews of all types of media in order to help families. Welcome, Robin.
Good morning.
And we also have with us Alana Pierce, who's a young journalist and games reviewer, who did something very novel in response to very abusive comments that she was receiving online. Welcome, Alana.
Hi.
Now, let's start with you, Alana. Tell me about the work you do and where you were experiencing cyber trolls.
The work I do in general is just that I review video games and then it's generally published online, which means that a lot of what I'm doing is readily available on the internet. And as a result of that, I think I receive some comments that aren't pleasant to read. Recently, I've been getting rape threats, and I think I have probably gotten them for about 3 years, but it's getting a little bit worse. So what I've done in response to this...
Well, just hang on a tick. Where were you getting them?
Online. So on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, various places.
So a whole range of different places. Because, of course, you present a digital TV show reviewing games.
Yes.
And a lot of guys watch your reviews. In fact, a lot of guys really celebrate that you're reviewing games and you're part of this industry.
Yeah, there's a lot of support, especially from other men in the industry. It's really fantastic. So I think it's probably about 70% males who are my audience and about 30% women, but it is close. That gap is closing, and I'm kind of watching it close on the stats where more women are sort of getting engaged, which is awesome.
What did you discover about who was cyber trolling you? Who was giving you these really vile sexual threats, basically? I mean, I think you'd got used to people commenting on your appearance, mm-hmm. what you were wearing, on your boobs, on your hair. That's sort of order of the day, isn't it, for women who are occupying the online communities that you are?
Yeah, I think that happens to pretty much any woman who is in the public eye. I mean, can you imagine the comments that someone like Kim Kardashian gets on a daily basis? They wouldn't be very pleasant. But I tend to get some sexually explicit stuff, which can be very descriptive. And for a long time, I did think that it was grown men until I actually started paying attention. I don't know why I did. Just one day, I looked at a profile of one of the boys who said something to me on Instagram, actually, and I realized that he would have been about 14. So from then on, every single person who sent me something really sexual, I would look at it, and vast majority of them were really, really young boys.
Boys.
Yeah.
Right. What did that make you think?
In a weird way, I found it comforting to know that it's people who might be naive, who don't really realise what they're saying. They're not grown men, and I always assumed they were, so I really liked that. But it also made me think that I had a lesson to teach there and that they could learn from the experience and that I had a place to say something to stop them from doing it to another woman.
So that's a big thing to take on, and I guess you could take a few different approaches, and one of them is to ignore them, because the assumption is that if you don't ignore them, that will encourage them. You took another approach. What did you do?
Yeah, so I think that ignoring them is what I've done for majority of the time, and it doesn't achieve anything. So I decided that if they contact me on Facebook, I would go onto their Facebook profiles and find their parents and then message their mothers and tell them what's happened. And I've had one reply so far out of four, but it was great. She's taken a really proactive approach to it. She's spoken to him about it. This one was specifically a rape threat from a boy who was 15, and she said that she's speaking to his school to encourage teachers and students and parents to be aware of what they're all doing online, to actually, you know, encourage the community to pay attention to what their kids are saying so that it's not so anonymous and they're actually monitoring that kind of thing, as well as talking to various other parents in the community to make sure that they're aware as well.
Yeah. So how do you think about her response? Because that's very proactive. I wonder what her initial response was to you sending that message to her. You had to do a bit of sleuthing, obviously, to suss out, you know, who this kid was and who his mum might be.
I mean, it was so easy, just shockingly easy to do on Facebook. I was almost disturbed by how willingly children will give away really personal information on Facebook, that I was able to do that so easily. But I'm incredibly happy with her response. To me, she immediately after I sent the screenshot of what he had said, called him a swear word and then said she was sorry and said she would talk to him. And that's all I wanted, really, was just a mature discussion to sort of tell him that what he's doing isn't okay, that it's not just a joke and that it needs to be taken seriously. And then she took it above and beyond and actually affected a community now. So I couldn't be more happy with that response.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Did you get another response from him, or is he hiding under a bushel somewhere?
So I banned him from my page immediately, so he can't actually reply to me, but she said that she has made him handwrite me a letter, which she'll be sending the whole way from California, so I'm very excited to receive that.
It was a kid in California. There you go. It could have backfired, though, couldn't it? Because, in fact, feeding the trolls, feeding the bullies can actually exacerbate the situation, and this is the great dilemma that many women online experience and feel. I need to speak out about this, but if you do, it can really land on you in a big way.
Yeah, it definitely gets a lot worse if you reply to them directly, which is why I decided to go to his mother. I was worried about her being defensive, saying I deserved it, or saying her son would never do that. So I tried to phrase what I said very carefully to say, your son has said this, I was wondering if you might want to discuss this with him. Mm. And it took me a long time to figure out the wording of that to make sure that it was as passive as possible so it didn't sound like I was blaming her. But I think it went really well, but I think for men who are older, who will occasionally say inappropriate things online, responding to them is never a good idea. That's just a good way to make them aggressive. So I feel like with young boys, there's something we can do about it. But with people who are maybe over 20, it's kind of just intimidating.
Yeah, well, that's a very vital question in and of itself. Alana Pierce is with me. She is a young journalist, games reviewer. She hosts an online games review show called Button Bash, which you can check out on YouTube. Her response to bullying is one response. Joining me also is Robin Trivo, founder of Cyber Safe Kids. Robin, how do you respond to Alana's approach?
Oh, look, I think she's been magnificent, I have to say. And I think it was totally appropriate that she responded the way she did and contacted the parents, because what we do know about 14-year-old kids, and specifically boys, is that they suffer from what I describe as a moral compass deficit disorder, which has really got a lot to do with the adolescent brain. So impulse control is something that they struggle with. They don't think about the consequences of what they're doing. They think they're having a joke and a bit of fun.
Well, they're testing the limits of behaviour too, and that's just stock standard.
That's exactly right. And the other thing about it is they feed off each other's behaviour. So what one does, then another, then it often becomes normalised, and they don't see a problem with it if a whole lot of other kids are doing the same thing. It doesn't make it right, but it seems to, in their minds, normalise it. And certainly if they're doing it anonymously, that's a very empowering factor when they're doing mean and cruel things to somebody.
On Life Matters this morning, we are talking about cyberbullying, cyber trolling, and we're interested to get your calls today too. I wonder if you've been the target of bullying online. Perhaps your children have, and perhaps it was other kids that were doing the bullying. What did you think that you could do about it? We're hoping to be joined by the Parliamentary Secretary to the Federal Minister for Communications. Last week, they introduced a new bill, the Enhancing Online Safety for Children Bill, which will involve the appointment of a Children's E-Safety Commissioner. And that commissioner will have a number of powers if it gets through. They will be able to respond to complaints that they receive. about harmful cyberbullying material. They will be able to ask to have that taken down, ask both the social media companies to take it down, but also expect an apology from the persons who has put it up there. We should have Paul Fletcher, federal member for Bradfield, in just a moment to talk to that legislation. Robin, I'm interested then in how you have this conversation with parents, because there's a lot of anxiety here. Is there too much anxiety? Are we at risk of overstating the incidence of bullying online?
Look, I think this is a really sensitive area because, experts far greater than I, academic researchers, have actually sort of come out in the US. So Justin Patchen, who is a real expert in this space, and he says that basically the bottom line is we can't simply call every harmful or hurtful or mean behaviour between teens or between others bullying behaviour. There has to actually be the repeated frequency nature of it, and it has to be intentional. So I think the Telstra organisation published a report this year which basically said that ultimately the aim should be to shift all Australian users from thinking solely of cyber safety in terms that focus on risks and protections towards a framework of digital resilience. And I think that that's a really interesting point because we acknowledge the need for intergenerational conversations about with our children about being strong, being an upstander, not a bystander, to your behaviour and the choices you make online and offline should be guided by the principles of empathy, kindness, respect, etc. And safety is a really important one. So I think we have to be really careful, and Collier says the same thing. It is not necessarily an epidemic. Kindness is more a default position. But we do hear, because through media and often through government initiatives, it would be quite within the realms of possibilities that people would think that every time a kid goes online, they're either going to be groomed or bullied online. And that's actually not the case. And that's not to diminish the fact that it does happen to some kids. But I think another really interesting point is to differentiate between what's rude, what's mean, and when does it escalate to become bullying.
Yes, interested to hear from listeners on that one. 1300 225 76. 1300 CALL RN is the number. Let's take a call from Sarah in New South Wales. You'd like to make the case that this is a community issue.
Yeah, I think it's great that there's been some positive movements within government to address it on a child level and to really support the safety and wellbeing of children. But if we look at our general conduct online, it's definitely something that the whole community engage in, whether it be via anonymous messaging or just Facebook messaging. It's something that, as a whole community, we're using the internet and we're communicating on it. And I'm sorry, my car alarm's gone off.
That's all right. Okay, all right, Sarah, I'll let you go. You've obviously got a car issue there. Thanks for the call, appreciate it. Mohammed in New South Wales, good morning to you. You're a big social media user.
Hello.
Have we got you, Mohammed? Can you hear us? Hello. You're a big social media user. What point would you like to make about cyberbullying?
Hello.
Yep, we don't have Mohammed. Rebecca in New South Wales, have we got you?
Hi, how are you going?
You've had an experience of this, well, not as a child, but as an adult, in the same vein as Alana. What happened?
I'm part of an organisation called Real Media, Real Change, and we started that up to look at the effects of media in our everyday lives, including cyberbullying of adults and businesses. And we had a direct experience of that. So I'm a web developer, but I've got hate pages online about me because of the courses that I choose to do on the weekend. I do complementary healing therapy, so I study massage and stuff like that.
Right.
And somebody that has taken issue with universal medicine and the complementary healing business that I was attending.
In your private capacity?
In my private capacity, has decided that they've got an issue with them that's based on a personal issue that they've got with them. Right. So they've done numerous sites that have lied about that business, very targeted blogging to try to attack that business.
So what's been your response to that? Or what's been the impact of that?
The impact of that is huge because now if I get Googled if I have a potential new client and they Google me, there's a web page that comes up that says that I sexually molest people at healing.
Right.
You know, I'm a 33-year-old woman and, so there's all these kind of lies that fly around and that I'm part of a cult and stuff like that.
Have you tried, we can't obviously go into the specifics of your case, but have you tried addressing that issue with, who do you address it with? And that's the issue.
Yeah, that is the issue because Google is, you know, you can send them a letter, but they will say to you, well, we're not going to do anything about this unless you take legal action. And for small sole traders to take legal action is often prohibitive. And the lack of regulation for what adults are doing on the web is massive because there's hundreds of people in my instance that have attended these courses and now are being targeted by one or two cyberbullies. But you can have a restaurant and someone decides that they want to, you know, put a really shocking review about your restaurant online because you're the competition, and there's no regulation that's stopping that. And so this is a very serious crime on a business level as well.
Rebecca, thank you very much for sharing your experience of, well, it's a very difficult issue, managing our reputations online. I really appreciate the call. Alana Pierce, you took action in this case by contacting the mothers of the young trollers that were sending sexual threats to you online. But this kind of onslaught does take its toll, doesn't it? And I think at one point it made you really consider, do I want to actually do what I'm doing?
Yeah, I think it was the first time that I worked for a really big company and I got a lot of negative comments. It really, really upset me because I'd worked so hard on something. I made this video and just got all of these comments about my gender and really gross things. So that was really, really upsetting. But I think that I have so much support that it would be pointless for me to let the trolls win when that's what they want. But there's another factor that I'm 21, so I actually grew up, I guess, with social media constantly and definitely experienced my fair share of bullying online. And I actually would say that vast majority of kids do, I think, even in a really casual way where I would be on Facebook and see that another girl had posted a Facebook status about me or something like that. And I don't think that that's very uncommon, actually. I think that that's something that probably happens to most teenage girls. And the worst thing that I saw in high school was a girl who had sent a boyfriend naked photos of herself and then he had then posted it to her Facebook wall so everyone could see it, and Facebook didn't do anything about it. And I think that that would just be the most horrible thing ever to have to deal with, and it's a real shame that social media websites don't take this more seriously.
Well, let's now come to Paul Fletcher, the federal member for Bradfield. He's the parliamentary secretary to the federal minister for communications, and welcome to the program. Glad we finally got you.
Yeah, pleased to be with you.
It was a dramatic start to the show. Paul, you and the government last week introduced this new bill, Enhancing Online Safety for Children Bill, last week. What is it that you are trying to achieve with this bill?
Well, the Enhancing Online Safety for Children Bill follows some pretty extensive consultation we did on these issues while in opposition, and then we did yet more consultation in government in relation to our commitment to, first of all, introduce what we're calling a Children's E-Safety Commissioner. So this will be an office within the federal government that will take the lead on issues to do with online safety for children. And now one of the core responsibilities of the commissioner will be to administer a complaint system backed by legislation so that where harmful cyberbullying material targeted at an Australian child is on a large social media service, then you can, as the child or somebody on the child's behalf, make a complaint to the commissioner if you've first gone to the service and it hasn't responded. So it's intended to be a complaint system backed by legislation that will get harmful cyberbullying material down. The consultation that we've done, talking to parents, teachers and most importantly kids all around Australia, suggests that when there's something really harmful that's been posted, first of all, people feel like they're being humiliated in front of the crowd. It's very visible because it's on social media. Lots of other people can see it. And secondly, the difference between cyberbullying and traditional schoolyard bullying is that once you leave the school, in a sense, you're safe from the physical bullying, but if every time you turn on your computer or your smartphone, you're exposed to a stream of derision and abuse, then you can really not feel safe anywhere. So
there are real ambiguities here, though. I mean, kids can be blunt, they can be rude, they can be outright mean to each other, they can have a whole lot of digital dramas unfold online, as they do in their non-virtual lives. Is it clear what will constitute cyberbullying for the purposes of the new eSafety Commissioner?
Look, that really is a question that goes to the heart of the matter, and it's something we've thought about very carefully, and in fact I addressed quite carefully in my second reading speech when the bill was introduced into the Parliament last week. You know, I observed that children and teenagers can often engage with each other in language that might look pretty abusive. I made the point that that's something that any parent of teenagers will understand. So we do have to distinguish between what is serious cyberbullying material and what is just, you know, normal human interaction. So we've established a framework in the legislation, a definition of cyberbullying material targeted at Australian children, which sets out a range of factors such as serious harassment. In addition, the Children's eSafety Commissioner will then come up with a set of detailed guidelines that effectively flesh out what's in the legislation. So what we don't want to do is have excessive regulation and intervening in the normal back and forth of childhood and teenage life.
That's right. I mean, is it really up to an eSafety Commissioner to make evaluations about what is bullying and what isn't? You know, how far do you want their arm to reach into these sorts of interactions?
And look, let's just bear in mind that the first to engage the Children's eSafety Commission, the first step is there has to be a complaint. And the second step is you need to have gone to the complaints scheme of the large social media service. So most of the large social media services do have the facility for you to report content. Now,
so isn't that enough? Isn't that enough?
Well, the feedback we've had is that all too often when you do report content, nothing happens. What we've tried to do is set this up so that it's a light touch system. And let me just explain that. We've provided in the legislation for tier one and tier two. And so if you're a large social media service that is in tier one, and the way it works is that you'll apply to be in tier one, then a notice goes to you, but it doesn't have legal effect. The notice only has legal effect if you get moved to tier two, and that occurs only if you repeatedly fail to respond to notices over a period of time.
And that's where the provider could then be fined.
That's right. So the intention here is that if a large social media service has a complaint system that is working effectively and where there is cyberbullying material targeted at a child, it's being taken down, then the impact of the law on them should be pretty modest. On the other hand, if they're not doing what the community, I think, expects of large social media services, which is to have, amongst other things, terms of use that bar cyberbullying and also a complaint system. If they're not doing that, then there's absolutely the power under this legislation to be issuing these notices. So you're absolutely right. It's a balance that needs to be struck carefully.
Well, and you are a government that believes in unfettered free speech. so this is, it's a fine line, isn't it?
It is a fine line. Now, one of the points here, obviously, is that one key area where we've drawn the line is to ensure that this is restricted to content targeted at children. And that reflects the fact that in our society, we typically impose extra restrictions and safeguards when it comes to children. For example, there are obviously restrictions on selling alcohol or cigarettes to children, many other areas where the law sets a different set of safeguards when it comes to children as opposed to adults. The other point to make is this is not a general content regulation scheme. It is specifically restricted to cyberbullying. In other words, the intent here is to deal with an issue which has emerged quite rapidly. We commissioned research from the UNSW Social Policy Research Centre and a consortium of other Australian researchers, which made the point that about one in five Australian children between 8 and 17 has been exposed to cyberbullying in the last year.
But what this says to many people is that you're sending a message that life online for young people is a risky enterprise, when others say we should shift away from that mode of thinking and instead focus on building resilience for young people who are going to be living their lives online for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely right. You need to be doing both. So, for example, as part of our policy here, there's $7.5 million allocated to increased online safety education programs delivered through schools but by specialist providers, because that whole notion of digital citizenship is absolutely key. This is, of course, using the internet is a central part of modern education and modern life, and will be a central part of the social life and the working life of today's kids. And the internet and social media are very much a positive force for social engagement. A proportion of human interactions go wrong online as they do offline, and the feedback we've had is at the moment when they do go wrong online, it's been too hard to get them out of debt.
Paul Fletcher, I thank you very much for joining us. More to discuss there. Of course, it will rely on parents making a complaint or someone making a complaint, and whether people want to do that in a kind of anti-dobbing culture is a tricky one. But I appreciate your time this morning. So glad we got you in the end. Thanks.
No worries.
Thanks very
Good
much.
Thanks.
Federal Member for Bradfield, the Parliamentary Secretary to the Federal Minister for Communications there, talking about their new bill enhancing online safety for children. Wonder what you think about that. Get on our Facebook page and let us know. Let's take a quick call and then I'll come back to our guest. Susie in New South Wales, your 13-year-old granddaughter has an experience of this.
Well, we're just working our way through it now, actually, and it's all very well to talk about digital citizenship and all these words and online courses to train people in digital citizenship, but when you... These kids, we've opened a Pandora's box and they ape... the prevailing zeitgeist. So you get a situation where I live in a large regional city. My granddaughter goes to a high school. She was downtown and said hello to a boy who is in her class, and someone picked that up and told somebody who told the girlfriend, I mean, God help us, but anyway, then it all, hell broke loose, and the threats and I'm sure even the ABC in its enlightened stage wouldn't want to want me to read the threats out loud, but they were accompanied by physical, very, very physical, and the trouble is the people in the various areas here say the girls are actually worse than the boys, and there are gangs of these girls. They tell their elder sisters, and they really have warned her not to go into town. And the sort of the
right. Because we're nearly at the end of our discussion.
Sorry.
But just have you been able to take action?
Well, the thing is, when you start taking action, yes, we've spoken to the schools and other people involved with these kids, because they're not very good at hiding their traces, of course. But once, and the police know, but the police point out that once you speak to the police formally, then it becomes an official complaint and they have to take action. Well, when you live, these are only babies themselves, these kids who are in the emoticons putting guns in the emoticon line. And
your concern is that it might escalate it.
Well, I just think they're kids too. Mm. And as a community, we've got to solve these things as families. Okay. It's no good just putting citizen courses online. It's hard. But my granddaughter is actually managing it well, but we don't know. It's not over yet.
Susie, it sounds like a very complicated and distressing situation.
Horrible.
Thank
horrible.
You very much for the call. Okay. Let me come back to Robin Trovo of CyberSafe Kids. Robin, your response there, and whether you think that the government's new bill, plans for an e-safety commissioner, might actually respond to someone like Susie's concerns.
Yes, look, I think, I commend the government in the establishment of the eSafety Commissioner Office, because I think that'll help shape the agenda for eSafety across Australia and within communities. So I think that that's important, because it's been a bit random up until now. And I think the powers for making complaints. I think, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. But taking the case study just sort of described, I mean, your heart goes out to the family, but clearly that little girl is well supported. I think it's really important that those kids who are involved in the very sort of mean and bullying behaviour are basically called out on that. But I think I keep coming back to it still takes a village to raise a child. So it's, yes, it's up to families. Schools are doing what they can, but it's beyond, beyond all of that. And I just sort of think it's really important that very important for families to have conversations around these sorts of issues before it becomes a crisis in your family. And we need to reassure kids that if we do get involved, as we should, that we will do everything we can to mitigate the sort of, you know, harm that might be part of that after effect.
Alana, very briefly and finally to you, just in the last 15 seconds, have you got a response on the establishment of an e-safety commissioner?
It's a very, very complex issue, but overall I think this is the most progress that we've made in a really, really long time, and I know that if I was still in grade 12, I would be really comforted by the fact that that now exists.
Ah, that's an interesting perspective. I look forward to everyone getting on our Facebook page and keep talking to us about this. Alana Pearce, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, no worries.
And Robin Trivaux, thank you very much for making the time too, from CyberSafe Kids, and also involved in a very interesting initiative called Common Sense Media. Check out their website. We'll pop it on ours. Well, yes, please keep the conversation going, and our listener feedback line is 02 833 1430.